praise tonight. We give you honor, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You want to turn in your Bibles tonight and follow along? Turn with us into the 12th chapter of the book of St. Luke. And I want to begin reading out of this, starting at verse 16, and I pray you stay with me, that this bless your mind and your heart, your spirit and your soul, and that you take something from this, not to forget it. We bless your name, God. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, we'll go ahead and begin. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? In which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, you say that with me tonight, but rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knock, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find them watching. And verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch, and find them also, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and had not suffered his house to be broken through. Be you therefore ready. Be you therefore ready. Can I do that one more time? Is that okay? Be you therefore ready. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. There are so many things that we can draw from in this teaching. So many things that we can grow ourselves as individuals. So many things that if we just begin to think about all the things that are already in God's design, we would not worry if we were interjected in God's plan. Now I want to tell you, for some of you here tonight, maybe you've been wondering, does God know about my situation? Maybe you've been asking yourself, is he knowledgeable of what I'm needing to happen? Or maybe you've come seeking him over others or other situations outside of your personal life. But I want to tell you tonight, as God has given me this scripture to give to you, I exhort to you tonight, God is mindful of your situation. He knows exactly what you stand in need of. He has got you involved in his design. He is knowledgeable of your wants. He knows your pain. He is understanding to your problems, and he sees your future. And I want to tell you tonight, it's not by some coincidence that you get blessed. It's not by chance that you just happen to stumble into something good. Just like the fowls of the air, when they go forth to find something good, it has already been designed before they ever get there that they're going to have something, because God had created it, he had placed it, and he has appointed it for them to have. So I'm here to tell somebody tonight, God has created it, he has placed it, and he has appointed it for you to be blessed with. Do you believe that? If you do, you ought to give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. So where are we building our treasure? When we desire of our own wants to act on our desires, you can pretty clearly see where people's hearts are. And it's becoming more and more clear to me every time I come to church that more of people's desires for what they want is no longer the Lord. I found that it is becoming so scary in this day that for some folks, salvation is no longer enough. It has to be more than that, apparently. It has to be more than just being redeemed to be happy. But I found that when God found me, I was nothing. I had nothing. I was nothing. And when he saved me, he gave me everything that I ever needed. He blessed me with all that I could ever dream of. If I never got another good thing, I could stand and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me hope. If I never get another thing, I should be able to be content with what God has gave me. But I'm glad to say it does not stop there. He has got us included in his design. Look over at your neighbor and tell him God's got you in his plan. Look over and tell somebody God's got you in his plan. So where is our treasure? Well, we read about the reference to the fool. The fool said, I'll go ahead and expand my storehouse for what I want. Now there's a difference in being faithful and being a fool. All right? Now I'm here to tell you, there's nothing wrong with being a fool, because we've all failed before. But there's something wrong with staying a fool. It's one thing to know how to use our faith, to know where to invest our thoughts, to know the things that God has taught us to do. But it's a completely different thing to know all those things and to still invest yourself in the world. There is no profit for investing yourself in the world. You will gain nothing in this world. In fact, you'll lose your soul. There are more important things to invest ourselves in. I will to God today. Can I preach for a minute? I will to God today. that we become the kind of church that sends the message every time we come in the door that our heart is full-heartedly invested in the will of God. I hope the day comes where God's children are all in on what His plan is for them. I hope we can be faithful enough to know that if He can create the provision, that we can believe to receive it. I hope the day is coming where we no longer get beat up by the devil to think that God don't care. I'm here to tell you, God not only cares about you when you're in a good place, He knows you when you're in a bad place. He's mindful of what you need and knows how to get you out. There is no sickness too great. There is no financial difficulty too hard. There is no family drama too tough. There is no work situation too difficult that God cannot work in if you'll include Him in your design. He has got you in His plan, but what I want to ask you tonight is, do you have God in yours? Where is your investment? Is it being angry because of what you don't have down here? Let me tell you what we got tonight. We've got a treasure box with nothing in it because we're trying to look for something that God's already done. And if we look in the right place, we'd invest in the right place. Where your intent is where you are. If I ask all of you tonight, would you love to be rich? I would find it hard to believe anyone that would ever say no. And if I ask you if you wanted to be as healthy as you could possibly be, I'd find it hard for anyone to argue with me that they would not want to be healthy. If I ask you tonight, if you would want your children to have every day to be as perfect as it could be, I'd find it hard to believe anyone would tell me that they wouldn't want it that way. Now, if I ask you about you, do you want your life to be happy? Sure we do. Do you want a spiritually fulfilled life? Sure we do. Now, if we want it bad enough, do we want it bad enough to place our investments in what we want? I'll tell you, you may not think it counts for anything, but your energy is part of your treasure. You may not think it's worth anything, but your ability to have sound mind is something to count a blessing. Now, if you put the things that you have the ability to have, to do, to say, to decide, then you have treasure to invest in something. We read in the Bible of those that buried their talents or treasures in the ground. And we read of the people that went out and worked it and multiplied it. And what did we learn from that teaching? That when we invest ourselves out in the world for God's glory, He multiplies our needs according to how He can do it. Now we read here about how they should walk with no storehouse. Now how can I walk with no storehouse if we know He has the infinite storehouse? What He was trying to tell us is that we don't need to walk with our storehouse. And we need to walk according to His storehouse. And that's what faith begins to unlock in us. I can't walk in here in my storehouse because I'll come in here burn out one day and not got anything left to share with anybody. I'll come in here one day and I'll be too tired to do anything. I'll come in here one day and not have a desire to serve Him. But I'm telling you, when I look to His storehouse, there has not been a time when I've let God take control that He has not blessed me. Not a time when I let Him get involved in my problems that He didn't fix it. Not a time when I was sick that He didn't heal me. Not a time when I put it on the altar and let Him really have it that He did not intervene. Church, I'm trying to tell you something tonight. You need to unlock yourself and to get what out of what you don't need in your life anymore. And you need to invest yourself in a true and living God. To invest something, you must pay something. And to pay something means you lose something of value. That means your time is an investment to God. Your energy is an investment to God.
So does attendance really matter? Sure it does. Sure it does. Does being devout and punctual matter? Sure it does. Does being passionate and loving and caring about everyone's needs? Sure it does. All of those things matter. God is looking for the part of us that we would keep for ourselves to give to Him. Now, here's the tough challenge. People don't want to give of themselves. They don't want to give their time. They don't want to be at church. They want somebody that is willing to give of themselves to pray them through. But I'm here to tell you, I can't pray you through if you're going to be a fool. I can't pray you through if you're not going to change your mind. There's a difference in being faithful and being a fool. And God was coming back for those that were watching or using their faith to discover who He is. Now I'm going to get right to the point. When you know not when the hour is that the Son of Man will come, do you think that's only rapture? I tell you, when I first started out in the Lord, the teaching, if you take it literally, makes you think of just when you're raptured. But I want to challenge your thinking tonight. Whew, I feel this. We can spend all our time investing ourselves in how we think we're going to fix it. But think about the kind of person that you could be if you were looking for His appearing. Looking for His appearing in your children. Looking for His appearing in your body. Woo! Looking for His appearing in your church. Looking for His appearing in your finances. Looking for God to intervene where He is already wanting to be. Faith is the difference between life and death. Faith is the difference between inheritance or a lack thereof. Faith is the difference between you prospering or you declining. What I want to tell you tonight, your faith is what is valuable to the Lord. When the Son of Man comes to you, will He find you watching? Oh Lord, in any situation you've got, I'm coming to a close after this. In any situation you've got, are you looking for His appearing? In every problem you're dealing with, have you got your eyes open saying, Lord, I'm waiting on You to come on the scene. I don't care how you feel or how hard it is. God's already got your problem inside of His plan. He's looking for the kind of people that won't be fools. God won't be mocked and He won't be glorified in a crowd of fools. He wants us to use the knowledge and the teaching and the discipline of the gospel to stand for what we know and to receive what we've already been given. Don't say, I need $1 million. You've already got it in the bank and you just got to be looking for the increase. Don't say, I can't wait until I'm blessed. You've already got it because you've got the storehouse. You've got the healing. You've got sound mind. Well, I could praise Him tonight for what I know I already have. I know the victory I've already got. Satan can't touch what belongs to God. Woo! Let me read this part to you. Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all that you have. Get rid of you. Give alms. Give selflessly. Provide yourself bags which wax not old. What can you have that doesn't wax old? What can you use to carry what you have that will not wax old? What do you have that's not going to decay? You've got a soul. Whether you choose to accept eternity in heaven Whether you choose to accept your fate in hell, you've got a soul. Let me tell you something about that soul. He said, make sure that you carry yourself and not decay. That faileth not where no thief approacheth, neither more can corrupt. Let me tell you, the blood of the Lamb cleansed your soul that it would no longer be corrupted by the enemy. The enemy may mess with your mind. He may mess with your family. He may mess with your body. He may mess with your church, but he cannot destroy the soul. If you've got nothing else in this life, this world ain't for you. We're just passing through here trying to spread the message that there's a better place ahead of us. We can't set our treasures here. When you go, your money ain't going with you. When you go, all the love you have for everybody, you're not going to get to take it with you, because you're going to leave who you are here and everything you've invested in behind. And I will to God that we make ourselves ready, that our hearts be ready to be received in the kingdom of heaven. I hope that if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you ask him to be Lord of your life. And if it's been a while since you've repented of your sin, I pray tonight that you get ready and open up your heart to him and be prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. He's looking to appear in your healing. He's looking to appear in your prosperity. He's looking to appear in a child of God who's watching, who's looking for him. I don't know if you came looking for the Lord tonight, but I didn't care how many were going to show up. If he shows up, that's all that matters. You and the Lord. And he said, where two or three would agree that he would be in the midst. Oh my Lord, you could have a multitude. But if you're not looking for the right thing, we're a church of the full. You cannot invest all of your emotions in your anger. It's time that we turn our ways back to the Lord and let our emotions be back where they belong, in the ocean of forgetfulness. God don't want you holding grudges. He don't want you being tarnished. He don't want your soul to be afflicted by the presence of the enemy. He wants you to walk in a confidence that knows that if you don't make it tomorrow, that you've got a better place to go. And if you've got a problem, that God already knows. See yourself tonight as one of those little birds. You may not have the provision in your bag, but you got to know God's got it on the way. Hallelujah. He's in control of exactly what you need. Oh, I feel this all over me. God's got it, somebody tonight. God's got your person. God's got your provision. God's got your situation. Is this too much for a Friday? Can I be real with you? To be blind to the truth is to be a fool. But to have vision to God and close your eyes, you're no better than who that is blind. If I told you tonight there are other people that care about their families just like you that don't know God, would you agree with me? Would you agree with me tonight if I ask you if you're aware that Christians and non-Christians alike want to take their own life? Christians and non-Christians alike get cancer. Their cars break down. Accidents happen. Bills go overdue. Family trouble. Marriage trouble. Church trouble. Sheep bit. Aggravated. Burnout. Overloaded. Overworked. It rains on the just and the unjust. We cannot control what is in our destiny, but we do know who's in control of our destiny. You know what I'm saying tonight? You have been appointed a plan that leads to what God considers his good pleasure. It is not God's pleasure that you suffer. Did you know that? He'll laugh at your foolishness. He'll be ashamed of you if you're ashamed of him. But he does not get happy when you're in a bad place. And in fact, I believe that it grieves God when we do not walk in the fullness of our faith. Faith is not a denomination. Faith is not even a spirit. It's a choice. I choose to believe. Faith can defy your physical condition. Faith can defy the most difficult of religion. Some people, you'll never do it good enough for them. So stop trying to be the best of something that God didn't call you to be. He didn't call you to be the best at everything religious. He just called you to serve him. Hallelujah. He didn't call you to be a denomination. He called you to love other people as you love yourself. He didn't call you to brag about being saved for your own glory. He gave you salvation to spread the message of the gospel that others that do not know him can be converted into the kingdom. We are not here to build up treasures. We are not here to build up the barns of this church. We are not here to glorify ourselves. We are here to spread the message. If you've ever wondered why I'm at the church tonight, it's to send the message to those that don't know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus still saves, that Jesus died for a lost and dying world. We're missing the message and acting a fool. Yeah, I said it. It's okay. You didn't. They won't be mad at you. When we act like fools, we'll receive like one. The rich man that we read about, he wanted what God wanted for him, right? Then he received a charge. Sell all that you have. But was he really selling anything? Or was he investing something? You can consider giving up your frustration as a loss. Sure can. But if you'll take what was meant for evil and invest it by faith, and you start expecting what belongs to you, you're going to inherit what was already planned for you. You don't have to have faith to produce something. You just have to have faith to realize something. God doesn't have to go in his magic factory storehouse and create something you've asked for. It already exists. It was confirmed and created upon it is finished. From the moment he gave himself for us, we then were created a connection to the Father. And so if I will use faith, faith is the power that runs through my connection with God. But you've got to invest power to send power to God. You've got to invest something of you. Your time, your emotions, your decisions, your attitudes, your behavior, your daily discipline defines your spoil. I'm telling you, I like to preach. I enjoy my preaching. I'm not biased. Maybe I'm a little. I like to preach. I like to amen myself, sure. Preach on, brother. Amen. I will. I enjoy what I do. But what I do is an investment. You are called to give, for it is better to give
than it is to receive. For if you will sow not, you will reap not. If we do not ask, we shall not receive. If we do not knock, it is not opened. If we will not use the mechanism to achieve what we desire, then we shall not have what we want. Now wrap this up, brother. You said you were going to be done a little while ago. People need to know what you're invested in. They need to know it by your everyday speech. They need to know it in your willingness to witness about God. That doesn't mean it's all you ever talk about. It just means that when you have something good to praise about, that you include God in the glory. You don't have to be a Bible thumping, person chasing, throw the pamphlet at them kind of Christian. You can be the kind of person that will do the right thing, to love people the way you want to be loved, to open the door for somebody if you want it open for you, to tip somebody if you want to be tipped that way, to offer advice if you want advice, to pray for those that you would want to pray for you. It's an investment. When I begin to pray about what I would give to you tonight, this is what the Spirit came to me to say. Your faith is your investment. And what you invest shall be multiplied. That says in the scripture, all these things shall be added. If we be faithful. So if you're seeking for God, what are you doing? You're looking for Him. It's not just praying to Him. It's looking for Him. And I've said this to some folks as of late. I'm going to repeat myself again. Faith is believing in a world where the things you want already exist, even though they're not there. Faith is seeing your children saved before they ever are. Faith is seeing your bills paid before they're paid. Faith is seeing your happiness realized before you get through your storm. Faith is an investment. And we've got to choose to invest faith. Not feeling. Not opinion. Not grudges. Not unbelief. Faith is what will please God. If it's His good pleasure to bless you, and it pleases God that we're faithful, what should we do? Be faithful. To be faithful, think about this. When I'm married, every day when I'm home, I'm wondering where my wife is. I'm concerned about where she is. I want to know how she's doing. And I look for her coming to where I am. To have that relationship with God is through prayer, meditation, and to long to be in His presence like you would the one you love the most. It's just that way. It's not something that you can only have if you repent of what you think you've done. It's something you can have all the time if you dedicate your life by faith. Faith is not just believing. Faith is a discipline. It's continuing to believe in spite of the problem. That's the tough one. We can believe to be saved very easily. We can believe to be filled with His Spirit very much. But when we're faced with something bigger than us, it's that chapter of our life that's the struggle, right? My struggles, and pretty well documented by how unashamed I was of who I was when I was in the world. Pretty easy for people to remember the person I was then. But you know what I'm doing with my life now? I'm telling a story. To be a witness is to tell your story. I'm not who I once was. Are you different tonight?
aren't you glad you're not what you were? Aren't you glad you're somebody brand new? Aren't you glad of what you've got? It may not be what you want, but aren't you glad for what you've got? Aren't you glad for health? Aren't you glad for another day? I'm glad for what I've got tonight. And to him I will always tell my story. But stories are not just words, my friend. Stories are actions. How we demonstrate our words. You can help someone be saved and never quote them a single Bible verse. Did you know that? You can help them to find God when they've never been to church. You can have people on their deathbed claim the name of Jesus before it's too late. So what do? If we're faithful, think about this. We are looking for God to appear in the world that what we are wanting already exists, even if we don't have it. That's what faith is. It's believing in the things that we want from God and believing it in spite of what we're dealing with and are looking for him. Think about this. It said, no matter if it was first watch, second watch, third, or the fourth, that God was going to find pleasure in who was looking for him. Now, I don't know if you feel like you're in the fourth quarter of life, but we're in the last days, my friend. I feel like we're entering into that fourth watch, brother. I feel like for those that it was easy to serve God, they're gone. For when it was convenient to be at church and shout when everybody else shouted, they've been weeded out. The tares and the wheat are very plain to see. And we can't keep on waiting for a church to be full before we're full of him. We can't keep waiting for an evangelist to change our life until we learn to change it for ourselves. We can't keep waiting for some great revival before we start having revival right here in our temple. God wants you to be blessed and highly favored. Not tomorrow, not after a revival, not after the church is full, but right now, in this very moment of your life, he wants you to be just as blessed as you can be. It's in his plan. Consider the lilies. They don't change their course of action. They follow by design. Fowls of the air that are meant to eat of the tree don't go poking for worms. And cattle who are meant to eat from the ground don't come after me. We got to stop going after what was not meant for us to consume. We are consuming too much sin, too much bad attitudes. If we let people see our junk in the pantry of our life, we'd all be ashamed in here tonight. Well, maybe just you all, maybe not me. No, me too. If you showed your baggage, come on, somebody. If you opened up and let people see just how much of a Christian you've been this week, we'd all have a reason to repent just for you. But we've all got stuff that we deal with. We've all got pain and doubts and all kinds of negativity. And the only way you rebuke that kind of spirit, prayer, fasting. What does prayer and fasting both require, though? Faith, right? Got to have faith to rebuke the enemy. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm taking my sweet time for you. I got to tell you tonight, what you are putting yourself through is more than you were meant to bear. I don't know who I'm reaching to tonight. What you have put yourself through is a waste of investment of your life. You've got to understand, God wants you to put yourself consuming things of his good pleasure. Worshiping him. Eating of the meat of the word. Receiving positive encouragement from your fellow believers. These are the things that build your faith. In the last days, what did the scripture say? There'd be a famine. How are we going to survive in famine if we won't help each other? Otherwise, one day we'll come in here and nobody will hear what I say. Nobody will hear what Pastor says. Nobody will hear what the prophet said. You'll sing with the greatest of talents, and no one will receive. Do you not already know that this kind of lack of love is upon us? Do you know why it's upon us? We're consuming all the wrong things. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. We're consuming all the wrong things. God wants you to invest yourself, to consume yourself, to put yourself in the kinds of situations where you can be encouraged, where you have the right sense of mind. My Lord, if they are negative to you, cut it off. Did you hear me tonight? If they only say negative things, are they really a friend? We've got to have more than what we're putting in our treasure box. Because let me tell you all that's in there. Fool's gold. You think you've got it? Look at what you own. You think it's pretty and shiny. But when it really needs to pay the price, what worth is it? If you have cancer, what good does $1 million do to you? It doesn't change your problem. It might make you feel better. But does it really fix your problem? You could have the perfect family. But if you had no money, what is it to you just to have a perfect family? If you can't enjoy it with things. Think about this. You can invest yourself in all the things you think is going to fix it. People will have children to try to fix their marriage. People try to put their kids in good schools to keep them out of trouble. My parents put me through sports and had me take music lessons and was very supervisory for a long time in my life, but I still made bad choices. Sometimes you just cannot adjust the fate of people's decisions. You've got to understand one thing tonight. Sometimes even when you do all the right things, sometimes things still go wrong. And the only thing that will help you through that is what? Your feelings? No? Your opinion? Your friend's opinions? Your psychologist's opinions? It's your faith. Have I got the point across tonight? It's all right. I love you. Got to tell you the truth. We're only this far away from being a fool. We are all subject to temptation. We're all subject to fail. We're only that far away. No matter how saved you are, no matter how much money you have, how many deeds you've got in the bank, won't make a difference. Life will still be life. Wildfires will still catch. People will still take their lives. Violence will not cease just because you do all the right things. The enemy is upon us because it was appointed in God's plan for evil to reach the state where he can come to retrieve those who are looking for him. The great and fateful day of separation, where wheat and tares will finally be decided, where lost and saved will finally be distincted, is coming. And the scripture I leave with you tonight is to leave your light on. Be prepared for his coming. Not only for the rapture, but look for him in every single need that you have. Don't just say, all my problems will be fixed when I get to heaven. It's good to look forward to heaven, but I look forward to tomorrow too. I want to be happy if God gives me another day. I'm not going to sit around and mope even if you do. I don't got time to mope because I've only got time to tell a story. When I had nothing, he became something to me. I'll leave this last part to you. Let me read this scripture to you. This is powerful. And I'll close right after this.
believe. We'll read out of Psalms and Proverbs if you want to get this with me. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. And now when you hear the word rich, think about something more than money too. Read this with me. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off like the sky of an eagle. Like an eagle. Psalm 52, 6 and 7. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, here is now the man who did not make his stronghold, but trusted in great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. Think about that. It's not meant for us to expand our barns on this world. It's meant for us to expand our faith that God may give the increase. One last example. I'd be a fool to go and buy $1.5 million home if I didn't have anything to buy it with. And if I told you that I was going to buy $1 million home and I had no money, would you not think I was a fool? But if I was believing and I received of God and he blessed me with what I needed, then I would have what I need to get it. We don't have to feel like we're against the impossible. You don't always have to feel like God does not understand. Because he does. I'm telling you that from the bottom of my heart. God understands what you're dealing with. From you to me, from brother to sister, brother to brother, friend to friend. God knows what you're dealing with. But do not forget that you're a part of his plan. He knows what you're going through, and he's mindful of what you need. He is looking for if you're looking for him. That's how faith shines. Let your light so shine before men. What is your light? Is it just spirit? I don't think so. It's not just spirit. It's your life demonstrated by faith. To look towards the glory of God is to reflect his glory. And to reflect something is to shine. If we're looking for him and our eyes are upon him, think about that. If God is a marvelous light and he shines down to that which is reflecting towards him, what does it do? It shines. If we come in and just serve God no matter what, you're going to shine. Come what may, you're going to shine. Sister Doris, doesn't matter what we see. If we serve him, we'll shine. And it's enough. We may not ever get this building full. Does that mean that it was not meant to build? No. All things are meant to tell a story. Do I think that we can fill it up? Sure. But we can't fill it up being a fool. Can't. That's real talk. Take it or leave it. Throw it away or keep it. It's up to you. I hold myself accountable to this. When I read this, I put it in my bread basket first. And it hurt. And I'm still hurting. And if it hurt you, no, it hurt me too. There's something about knowing where we're putting our stuff. How many of you have a junk drawer at home? We got all kinds of stuff that we don't know what to do with, so we just put it there. God wants you to empty out your junk drawer and put all the things to where it matters, right? I love you, and I hope you don't forget this. If you forget everything else, you go back to this scripture and read it and remind yourself, God is mindful of me and his plan. I'm in God's plan. Maybe you need to write it down, put it up on your mirror, and look at it every morning. I'm in God's plan. I felt that go out. I'm in God's plan. No matter what happens, you're in his plan. I love you, church.